Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. I am your host, Jericho Spence. And today's topic is going to be programming, human programming. We're going to start off outlining how programming works, what exactly it means to take control of your own programming. Right now, I'd like to give a huge shout out to Terrence McKenna, the late great Terrence McKenna. May he rest in peace. This gentleman did more for consciousness and higher consciousness than anyone I've ever personally come across in all of my years of studying higher consciousness myself. He was literally someone who woke me up, if you will, and was the first person he was the first person that I heard give the analogy that a human being is a computer and that we can be programmed and that we have an operating system exactly the way the computer does. So for those who maybe not so computer literate, let me just break one thing down. So, hey, Kim, thanks for joining. Yeah, it's a beautiful tapestry, right? So anyway, first of all, human beings are computers and human beings can be programmed. And Terrence McKenna said that culture is your operating system. He gave a really good speech on this one day. Culture is your operating system. Let this sit in for a second. Let this sink in for just a second here. Think about the accumulation of knowledge that you have gained and everything that's in your memory that was put there by your culture, your schooling, your religion, your popular culture, your family, friends, everyone who has contributed to the ideas that make up who you are today has contributed to your programming. Television has probably contributed the most to our programming in general, because most of us spend a good deal of time, at least growing up, watching a whole lot of television, where you are programmed by having an example of how you should act, what you should do in certain situations. Let's say, you know, your children did some particular thing at home. How you react to that is more than likely a copy of what you saw someone else do in the same situation, what you saw your parents do to you in the same situation, or something of that nature. So that being said, once it's understood that your culture is your operating system, you have to ask yourself if this operating system is serving you. And if it's not the correct operating system that aligns with your goals, then how do we go from your current operating system to a new operating system that is in alignment with your goals? So let's look at it like this. Suppose that right now your operating system is just for an example. Hey, Tasha, my sister just joined you guys. So let's say you have an operating system that is Christian-based and Western culture-based operating system that you have right now. That would not be fully compatible with someone, say, from the Middle East, with more of an Islamic or Muslim-based culture and operating system, because there are just fundamental underlying principles in these two different operating systems that do not allow them to fully integrate. And while you may be able to install software packages into the two different consciousnesses that will allow them to communicate and share certain information, basically, what happens when you install, say, Microsoft Word on your computer, on a PC, and then you install Microsoft Word on a Mac, you can actually save a file that can be opened on both computers. But at the same time, there are just fundamental differences in these operating systems that will not allow everything to work between the two. So I want you to look at your consciousness the same way we're looking at a PC operating system like Windows, and then a Macintosh operating system. And I want you to ask yourself, what viruses are in your system that you want to delete, and what software packages are not currently in your operating system that you would like to add. Because I'd like for today's discussion to be about how this is done, how it is done effectively, and how it is done permanently. I can start by using myself as an example of all of the negative programming and the very negative operating system that did not serve me well, that was installed on myself on my way, you know, from youth to adulthood. And we'll take some calls, and hopefully we will. Hey, CC, how you doing? And then we'll take some calls, and we'll answer any questions that anybody has about ways to more efficiently upgrade your operating system. Because the way I see it, we're all on the road to higher consciousness. And some of us have made more strides than others, but no one, you know, can judge anybody along their journey, because we all started small and we all going big. So I just want anyone that has any questions about what they might be able to do to remove things that they don't want to be a habit anymore, or something that they currently, things that people focus on a lot that they don't want to focus on. There are ways to remove these things from your operating system so that these are no longer viruses infecting your system. So we're going to call this something like a Norton scan, if you will. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the phone number up here in the comments, so that anybody that wants to call and ask any questions, please try to keep it on the show's topic, which is programming your consciousness. But anything loosely related to that, or anything on higher consciousness in general, we will definitely be answering your questions. So the number is now in the comments. Anybody that would like to call in, please feel free. You will be live on the air with Jericho Spitz. So I'm waiting for the first caller. And while we wait on the first caller, I will give you guys a little bit about what I did to program myself, to reprogram myself, and how I took control of my consciousness. I've been reading pretty much my whole life, and I have taken in a good bit of information, you know, over the years on every subject that you could possibly name. And some of this information was true, some of it was false, and some of it was somewhere in between. And it was up to me to go through this information and find out what served me and what didn't. So I think the first thing that I did that allowed me to start taking control of my consciousness was something that most of you are not gonna wanna hear, but it is the absolute truth. And we will get into a little bit about why this is such a detrimental thing to people and why it needs to be removed from our lives so that we can focus more on programming ourselves with the things we want. That thing is television. Television programming is the worst, in my opinion, form of programming. And there are reasons that I'm going to outline right now that I hope will make some of you turn the TV off once in a while, or permanently, which I did about 15 years ago. And it has done nothing but wonders for my life, giving me so much more time for everything that I would like to achieve in my life. And doing it my way, and not the way that people on TV are showing me that it must be done. So let's get into television and why it's such a bad programmer, so that we can understand why removing it from our life is necessary. First of all, you have no idea how many millions, billions of dollars our governments have spent on scientists and research to make television programming more hypnotic inducing, and to make sure that while you turn, when you turn it on, you're not able to turn away. There's a certain frequency that television is broadcast to you at. See, we think of this real world as being something that is so physical and solid, but it actually isn't. It's a holographic world of atoms of energy, and everything here is frequency. So what you're seeing on TV is basically your brain decoding information that was transmitted to a receiver. Your television is a receiver that receives this information and puts it out into translates it into a visual picture that your eyes then pick up, and your eyes send a message to your brain with this data, and your data interprets this in a certain way so that you see, if you will. Now, there are numerous patents that you can actually go and research and find that will prove to you that a lot of money has been spent learning how to make television addictive and to make you receive the data from your television screen at a certain frequency that puts the human mind into a hypnotic state. Have you ever wondered why your significant other or your child walks in the room and says, talking to you, and you're watching TV, and they'll sit there and talk to you for 2 or 3 minutes, and you know that there's a noise there, but you can't turn away. You can't hear and comprehend what they're saying because you are in an induced hypnotic state where you can only receive information from the source that has you under hypnosis. Okay, Nancy. Nancy Stark said, we should focus more on what is truly addictive. Television is definitely one, but drugs. Now, drugs is the number one thing that everyone educated about. I agree with you, Nancy. I think that drugs are a very, very, very big problem. And I definitely believe that drugs can be a help or a hindrance, depending on which drug and how it's done, to someone being able to program their consciousness in a positive way that benefits them, or a negative way that is detrimental to them. We actually will get into this in just a bit. What I will say, though, is the reason that I started off with television was not necessarily because of the addictive effect of it. I got into television more to say how we are programmed. And here's a good example. For example, by now, everyone in this country who is 25 or older probably has a good idea that the official story that we were given about 9/11, for example, was bullshit. We know that this had to be some inside work. You know, there had to be some inside help here. We saw plenty of videos of the detonations going off. We saw the footage on September Clues about, you know, how the plane was edited into the video. And I mean, this is, you know, I'm not here to argue about what happened on 9/11, but what I'm trying to say is that we were all programmed by television what and how to think about this particular incident. And that's how they were able to shove this down our throats as the official stories, because they used fear. They used television to program us to be in a constant state of fear. It was so powerful that immediately, within a couple of days after 9/11, there was not too many Americans that would walk down the street and see someone of Muslim descent and not feel some sort of fear or think something negative about them because of what we were programmed with on television. This has been done with so many different subjects over the years that we all have erroneous feelings about certain things that are only there because of television. So I can honestly say that turning off television 15 years ago and focusing my time on higher consciousness endeavors was one of the most important catalysts for me being able to remove negative programming, negative habits, negative thoughts, negative desires, and basically just vibrate on an all around higher frequency, because I don't allow the elite who own all of the programming that you're watching, I don't allow them to affect my programming any longer by putting me in a hypnotic state and giving me the fear-based programming that they issue on television 24 hours a day. For example, look at the mainstream media. Look at CNN, look at Fox, look at all of these news channels. and ask yourself a really serious question. When is the last time you turned on the news and you felt happy or love? Every single time any one of us turns on the news, the first thing you're seeing is something that is programming you to feel fear. Much of it is unfounded. Most of it is unfounded. But if you're in a constant state of fear, looking for the government or Big Brother or the elite or the news or the police or some organization to help you, then you lose all hope of helping yourself. In a constant state of fear, it's really, really hard to focus on love. And the only way to create, using the law of attraction, what you want for your life is through appreciation and love. That is the only emotion that will that the universe can understand. That's the language the universe speaks, is emotion. And this is higher math. And if you are able to vibrate in a state of love and appreciation, you are able to use the law of attraction very, very effectively. You are able to live the life that you really want to truly live. You're able to actually help others instead of always needing help for yourself. So, wait, let's see. Can't think of a single time where it wasn't sad news. I agree with you, Monique. Thanks for joining, by the way. Hi, Sadaf. Thank you for joining. And let's see. Nancy said, so many people take antibiotics for even the sniffles, but people don't understand how bad too much antibiotics are seriously killing people. Now the government has been pushing probiotics because so many people go to the hospital with a cold or a more serious problem, but most leave with a serious infection. For example, Staph, MRSA, Sadif. I agree with you. And Sadaf says antibiotics are bad. True. We are just saying they are good, but our probiotics get killed by them. I agree 100%. One thing that I in addressing this, one thing that I can say for sure, to address the whole health issue since we're going here, is that if your body's a computer, and it runs on a certain type of fuel. Now, there's a lot of different information out here about what is the best fuel/food for the human body. I personally have been researching this since my 13-year-old daughter was 1 year old and was diagnosed with autism, where I was instructed by doctors that her diet needed to be changed. So I began doing a ton of research into nutrition. And while I've always been a pretty athletic person and always looked to be in good health, I didn't always feel so good. In my 20s, I drank a lot. I ate a lot of, you know, fast food, garbage food. And I realized that once I cut out garbage food and alcohol on a daily basis, I began to think clearer. My mind, my brain, which is part of my body, this computer, seemed to work more efficiently. I would say the perfect analogy would be, you know, your car is a computer. And if you give it the perfect, you know, gas that is supposed to go in your car is going to run smoothly. You're not going to have any problems. It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. But if you grind up a cheeseburger, and you grind up, say, some potato chips, and you mix that with some sugar water and some milk, and you pour all that into your gas tank of your car, how soon is it gonna be before this car breaks down or starts to show you some symptoms of something isn't right here? So before getting into the pharmaceutical issue of what drugs are bad, what drugs are good, and how pharmaceutical prescription drugs are being misprescribed or even misused, I would say that to just cut out the pharmaceutical companies for the most part altogether, all one needs to do is only put into your computer what was designed for it. It is a pretty big debate going on, and it has always been going on, about meat and whether or not humans are actually meant to be meat eaters? Are we naturally herbivores? Are we carnivores, or are we omnivores? Now, while I can eat meat, I personally don't believe that it was meant for the human body, because every single creature in nature that is a natural carnivore has every tool necessary on its body to eat meat, except humans. If I handed you a chicken and I said, hey, here, eat this chicken, you would not be able to just naturally eat this chicken. I mean, you might be able to, but I don't think it'd be very enjoyable. But what we would need to do is you would need tools. You would need a knife to cut it, pluck it, get the skin off. You would need to get a pot, a stove, put it in the pot, boil it, or either fry it. You need to actually cook it. You need tools to make this work. But every other animal in nature can eat a chicken. Every carnivore in nature can just grab a chicken. It has claws to hold it, and it has fangs to tear it apart, and it can eat it naturally, and its stomach can digest it. And that's what it's supposed to do. But we're not supposed to do that. And this is not only something that I found in my research. This is backed up by study after study after study, where they have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that eating, at least eating red meat, minimizes one's lifespan by just 10 years by just eating one serving of red meat a week. This is once a week. Harvard did a study that came out about 2 years ago. I distinctly remember reading this like yesterday. It said in the study that eating one serving, only one, that's one hamburger, one little piece of steak, you know, one piece of deer meat, even deer meat, that's red meat. One serving of deer meat once a week cuts 10 years off of your life. Now, this isn't just, you know, some conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory kind of nonsense. You know, these are facts that have come out from peer-reviewed studies from Harvard, from one of the biggest think tanks on the planet. So my first suggestion to anyone who had questions about pharmaceutical drugs and whether or not to use them and if they were being used properly or not would be to, first of all, throw your prescriptions away. If you put into your computer exactly and only what your computer should have as fuel, you won't need pharmaceutical drugs. See, your brain is a computer, and if it gets what it needs, it's going to function correctly. If it doesn't get what it needs, then it's not going to function correctly, which can result in a whole lot of diagnoses such as anxiety, depression, and a whole list of other things that I don't suffer from because I only put fruits and vegetables into my body. And I do get exercise regularly. Now, I'm not in here to shame anyone's lifestyle or to try to judge anyone for what they do put into their body, because frankly, I'm on my own journey and I have to worry about me. But I would like to give people the best information that I have, you know, and I have gained along the way. And at 42 years old, I really get told that I look over 30, and I feel like $1 million every day when I wake up. And I believe that the biggest part of that is what I put into my body. So that being said, now, when someone is sick, then I definitely think that, how people think and what they think about most of the time is probably the biggest factor in health that I've seen. Definitely what you put into your body affects you. But more so than what you put into your body, I think, is what Jesus said. Jesus said they were accusing him of drinking out of a dirty cup. And he said, you know, something along the lines of, it's not what I put into my mouth that can defile me, but what comes out of my mouth that defiles me. So when you say things like, oh, I'm sick, oh, I feel like shit, oh, my life, you know, these things become your reality when you believe them and you say them. So the last thing you ever want to say out of your mouth is, I'm sick. You are giving power to whatever is causing you to be sick by just voicing it. So even if you feel the symptoms of it, you're getting information from a hologram that you get to control with your consciousness. So by knowing that it's impossible for you to be sick, that you are happy all of the time, and it is impossible for you to feel anything other than joy, love, appreciation, and happiness, you'll never be sick. I never get sick. And while I understand that it's a process getting to the point where you are able to control your emotions most of the time, it's definitely something to look into and a good place to start. And if you want to feel good and have positive thoughts in your mind most of the time, one of the first things to do before reaching for a pharmaceutical is to turn the TV off, because the television makes us feel negative more than almost anything else I can possibly imagine in this society. Being away from toxic people and toxic situations and toxic environments is another way to not feel so negative all of the time. So let's see. Nancy said, sorry to change the subject, but this has seriously been bothering me for a while now. Not at all. Not at all, Nancy. I understand. Monique says, I can't say it enough that plants, fruits, and vegetables can cure everything and anything. Throw your prescriptions away. I agree with you 100%, Monique. Thank you. Sadaf said, your body is a temple. And death, self-prophecy. For sure, for sure. I appreciate you guys for joining the show and for commenting. And I can't wait to get this new software I'm going to get that's going to allow for split screen, and I'm going to be having different guests on the show, and I can't wait for you guys to see everything that I'm going to be bringing to the THC show. Nancy said, people saying that television has changed so many lives, but back in the day it was a pastime. Now people watch television for all information, education on drugs and food, and sucking poor information on borrowing money and getting caught up on extra loans on houses or title loans. People get caught up on quick and easy medication and, of course, quick and easy money, but both advertisers are so cruel to people that are desperate for a quick fix. I agree with you 100%. One thing I do want to make note of is that the actual technology of television is not bad in itself. What is bad is how it's used, if someone wants to learn something about a myriad of subjects, you can definitely go on television and actually learn. There are good programming. There is good programming on television. There are good independent news media outlets on television. What you need to do if you want to watch television and not have it affect your programming and bring viruses into your operating system is to be very, very mindful of how what you're watching is making you feel. And if you're watching something that is making you feel negative, I would advise you to turn it off, because it's impossible for you to experience anything physically, the example, disease or accident or even poverty, like that did not begin in your mind first. Everything is following the sentiment of as above, so below. And when you have a negative thought that you cannot get out of your mind, it's probably going to manifest into something negative in the physical plane. So for me, learning, and it was a process. I don't want you to think this was an overnight thing or something that I was just born with, but I am now at a place where I spend 99% of my time vibrating very high in a state of love and appreciation. And I stay focused on my goals, and I stay focused on appreciating and loving everything in my life. This, I think, is doing more for my good health than anything else. Now, you couple positive thinking as much as possible with eating the right foods that should go into your body and never putting toxic substances or foods in your body, and with proper exercise, and you should never need a pharmaceutical. You should never need a doctor unless there's an accident. But even an accident is something that manifested physically from a negative thought that was in your mind in the first place. We are all creators. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. And how we create is using our consciousness, because this is an illusory matrix that we live in, and we get an experience in this matrix based off of what we experience in our minds. And if you're in a very bad situation or you're in bad health, the first step necessary in order for you to overcome this bad situation or bad predicament or bad health circumstance is to, first of all, appreciate where you are right now. No matter what your situation, no matter how sick you are, no matter how much pain you're in, no matter how broke you are, no matter how hungry you are, no situation can be overcome without first being in total appreciation of where you are. And I know that can be difficult sometimes, especially when there's a lot of pain or discomfort involved, but the way that you do this, well, the way that I did this and the way that I actually trained myself to always think positive is to think about who on this planet would give up a family member to be in your shoes right now. We live in a country of about 360 million people. I mean, that's this much of the population of the world. Yet we are some of the most depressed, unhappy people on the planet, but yet we have the most wealth. We have the most, the biggest consumer market, you know, that's ever been known in the history of humanity. So when you're in a country where you can walk to a Walgreens and buy something from any corner of the globe, okay, just having your social security number that guarantees you the right to walk around in this country freely, just having a social security number that guarantees you government benefits, that guarantees you the ability to get a job and actually earn money for yourself, just being in a country where you can walk into any alley and find food in a trash can, that's something to be grateful for. While most of us would never eat food out of a trash can, there are billions, literally billions of people on this planet who wouldn't mind eating out of that trash can that you look down on. There are places on this planet where you can't find a trash can with the slightest morsel of food in it, because there are places on this planet that are so poor that no one would dare throw food away. There's places on this planet where if someone saw you throw food in the trash can, they would take you to a shrink and ask the doctor what the hell is wrong with this person because they are throwing food away. We take this for granted. We take for granted that we have plentiful food. We throw away tons of food, tons and tons of food in this country every single year, every single day, because we don't know how to appreciate in this country. And I would think that if someone was having a problem learning how to appreciate and do it on a regular basis and do it on a constant basis, that thinking about some of these people who would kill a family member to have your social security number just to be able to walk in a country where they can find food in a trash can, think about those people. And if you can think about those people and you can't find it in your heart, you can't find it in your mind, you can't find something to appreciate, then I really have no assistance for you. I really don't know how to help. It's something that you're just gonna have to work out on your own. But I can promise you this: not feeling appreciation and not feeling love for where you already are makes it impossible for you to get to where you claim you want to be. So that being said, what I used to do when I first started learning how to use the law of attraction was I would always think about those commercials that come on TV with Sally Struthers or whatever that woman's name is, where she would be asking you to give money to these poor children. And they would show pictures or little videos of these kids with their bellies all big and flies flying around them. And they would just look so sickly and poor and destitute. And I realized that there are a lot of people on this planet like that. I imagine the parent of those children sitting here watching their children slowly dying of hunger and malnutrition and whatever other diseases that these states brought in. And I think about that parent and what they would give in order to be in my shoes right now, to have my social security number, to have my income, to have my residence, to have my vehicle, to have my ability to walk in a store right now with $20 and get a meal. So when I think about those people, I can't do anything except appreciate. That puts me in such a high state of love and appreciation for where I am that there's no time for feeling negative. There's no space for feeling lack, or there's no space for feeling like I don't have enough. I always have enough. And appreciating that I always have enough will always guarantee that I will always have enough. This is how the law of attraction works. Since I began thinking this way, my life has done nothing but improve more and more and more and more over the years. And after doing this for years and years, it's been about 12 years, I think, since I first started using that poor third world country child analogy in my brain to make me stay focused on appreciation. So after about 12 years of doing this, it's really difficult to keep me in a state of any form of negativity for long. I'm a human being just like you guys. So it's not that something can't happen in my life that could piss me off or that could bring me into a sad state. But I realize it really, really quickly when that does happen. And I always just appreciate everything about my life, everything about my health, everything about the people around me. I'm surrounded by people who love me. And I have a really, really happy existence here in Chicago. But I didn't always. And actually using that analogy and using that vision of those children is what I always popped into my mind every time anything started to make me feel negative. And I'm at a place now where I focus on love and gratitude, and there is nothing else to focus on. So I can recommend that finding a way to do this, to implement this into your own consciousness, would do nothing but better your life in every way, especially health-wise. Because if you're focused on love and positivity, then you're not poisoning your body and your mind with toxic thought, which manifests as dis-ease. And I'm pretty sure none of you want dis-ease. All right, let me go back a little bit and see. I missed a little something. Let's see. Sadaf says, teaching TV taught me how to feel. Now real life has no appeal. Yeah, well, you know what to do about that. Let's see, by Marina and Diamonds. Oh, that's a song? That's words? The words to a song? Opportunities too, true. My brother Gabriel says, to play devil's advocate about the being sick topic. What say you when an infant or child becomes sick and they have no recollection or means to understand sickness or television or prescriptions? Is that something that is learned through the mother while in the womb? That's a really good question. I personally know 100% for a fact that karma can be transmitted through bloodline. And it can also be carried over from one life to the next. So in your next life, you could actually experience the results of karma from things that you did in this lifetime. And in this lifetime, like it says in the Bible, there are certain curses, there are certain sins that would have results that won't be felt, or that will be felt to the third and fourth generations. When I used to read this in the Bible when I was younger, I didn't understand that. I didn't really get it. I didn't understand how karma could actually move through your bloodline. But as I studied DNA, as I studied exactly how consciousness attaches and detaches to the human body, I actually learned how karma is transferred. So you can be experiencing something negative right now that is a result of something that your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents did generations ago. This is very, very possible. this is very, very real, and it does happen. This is one of the reasons why on a daily basis, I perform a ritual called burning ancestor money. And the whole purpose of this ritual is to assist your ancestors in dealing with the karma that they may not have been able to balance out during their lifetime. And while it helps them, it also helps you, because now you don't have to deal with that karma as much, because you've eased, you've helped balance it out. By burning ancestor money to your ancestors, you are giving them your energy and you're giving them light. You are, in a sense, storing up money, celestial money, in their cosmic bank account. And this helps them and it helps you. So anyone who would like more information on burning ancestor money, there are a ton of videos on YouTube with people demonstrating how it's done and giving you their reasons for doing it. I would suggest checking out Gano Grills, GanoGrills. That's Sri Master Gano Grills. He has a video on YouTube. It's about 17 and a half minutes long, and it details why you should burn ancestor money, what the benefits of burning ancestor money are, and how you can actually watch a video of him demonstrating how ancestor money is done. For anyone who doesn't understand how the ancestor money thing works, I really suggest you take an hour or two out of your day and Google this and figure out how to implement an ancestor money burning ritual into your life. So Gabriel, to answer your question, I would assume that any children that are suffering at an age prior to being indoctrinated with culture, I would assume that they would be suffering past karma. I'm not 100% correct on this. And I mean, I'm not sure that every single situation would be that, but that's what I would assume, because karma is passed down from generation to generation and also from lifetime to lifetime. So maybe that baby who's suffering tumors or whatever they may be suffering, maybe they chose to come here and go through that suffering so that they could balance their karma out. Other than that, I would say that it's possible that they are suffering because of past karma from either their parents or grandparents or someone along the line, one of their predecessors. So that being said, if there's anything else on that, then please put a question in the comments or just call into the phone line. So with the whole programming, your consciousness thing, I'd like to get back on this subject because there were some points that I wanted to make about how we can go about programming our consciousness to become the mind that we want to have so that our life can be the life that we want to have. See, we say that we choose something for our future. We want to have money. We want to have the right spouse. We want to have a nice house. We want these different things that we voice that we want. But what you say out of your mouth is not what the universe is going to give you. The universe doesn't understand English. It doesn't really talk our language. So if you want to talk to the universe and tell the universe what you want, there's a method to doing this. And it doesn't involve television. It doesn't involve talking. Actually, talking actually can be a part of it, but what it really is about is it's about how you feel and what you visualize. So if you are seeing in your mind, holding a vision in your mind of what you want, and you're, for example, let's just say I need a new car. My car just broke down. I needed to get to work. I got a bunch of kids to take care of and a house, and I got all these bills. And if I don't get to work, I'm going to lose my job and my life's going to go to shit. So what do I do? Well, there's a lot of things that you can do physically, work harder, spend a lot more time trying to make more money. And there's nothing wrong with this. But a magic user might say that you can use the law of attraction to attract anything to you that you want. So what I would do is, if I wanted a new car, I would program myself to be someone who owns a new car. And the way I would do this is I would close my eyes. I would visualize myself sitting in a brand new car. I would make sure that I make this car as detailed as possible in my mind's eye. And I would use all of my physical senses to feel this car. So as I'm sitting in the car, I hold my hands on the steering wheel, not these hands, but my astral hands. And I feel what the steering wheel feels like as I run my hands around the steering wheel. I take a deep breath with my nose and I can smell that new car smell. Ah, man, it smells so good. Can't you smell it? Then I would tap my foot on the gas and I would hear the engine rev a little bit. Hear it purr like a kitten. You hear that new engine sound just rumbling in my ears. And then I can feel the seat, the leather. How does it feel against my skin? I would step outside of the car in my mind and take a step back from it and notice the paint, the color, the rims, the wheels. Make this car as real in your mind as you possibly can. And while you are making this car real in your mind by sensing it with your physical senses, you need to appreciate having this car. And the way you do that is to ask yourself, how would I feel sitting in this new car? How happy would I be if this new car was mine? Feel that feeling while you're visualizing this new car. That is simple and plain how the law of attraction is used most effectively, without adding anything to your consciousness as far as higher consciousness inducing entheogens or psychedelics or any type of shamanic technology. So now that you have a general instruction on how the law of attraction is used, I would like to point out how that can be applied to someone who is sick, for example, who wants to be better. See, we have this thing called logic and reason, and we are so used to looking around us, as everyone on TV does, and seeing what has been manifested in our reality, and we believe that to be real. And we believe things of a spiritual nature that are vibrating higher than we can see to be unreal. If science can't measure it, it doesn't exist. This seems to be the consensus of life on this planet. And it's why so many people feel like their life is out of their control. Because logic and reason tells you that, well, I'm not in a new car. I don't see a new car right here, right now. And we give our emotion to that acknowledgement. And it's actually backwards, because if you are a creator and you are creating and you know how to create with the law of attraction, your God-given creation power, then what you need to do is you need to see the visualization that you are appreciating in your mind and sensing with your senses. You need to see that as more real than anything around you. This is what faith is all about. This is what faith is. So what I will do is I will read you a little bit of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's all about faith, aka the law of attraction. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to read, because this understanding is what first made it click and hit home for me about what the law of attraction is and how it works. The law of attraction has been spoken about in the Bible and in so many different holy scriptures, and it basically is, it's just faith. It's the law of attraction. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, now in the New International Version, by the way, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. Now, the New King James Version of this says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes on a little bit more, but that's the main verse that I really want to discuss here, because to have evidence of something means that it's real. To have the substance of something, substance, the very word substance means something that exists. So to create the substance of what you desire in your mind and sensing it with your senses makes it real. And it causes the universe to start shifting its gears in order to churn out or dump out whatever you are visualizing into your life. And I've discovered over the years that the higher you are vibrating at the time that you are using the law of attraction, the faster and the more precisely what you are visualizing will manifest into your reality. And once you start doing this and doing it on a regular basis, it's going to seem like magic. I guess it kind of is magic in a way, because if it's a science that someone doesn't understand, then to that person, it's magic. But to me, it's not magic anymore, because I fully understand the science behind how the law of attraction works and how to manifest things into reality by using only your mind. I would suggest anyone wanting to reprogram themselves and to program bad habits out of them and to just be an all-around happier person in general, to start focusing on what you have to appreciate whenever you are feeling negative, whenever you are feeling stressed, whenever you're feeling down and out, whenever you're feeling like you don't have enough, whenever you're feeling like life is just too much for you. Don't let what you see around you cause you to feel more negative. That only compounds the problem, and it doesn't get you out of the situation that you're trying to remove yourself from. What I would suggest is, no matter what you're going through, and I do understand that there are some very difficult situations that make it really, really difficult to focus on love and appreciation, but it's not impossible. So what I suggest is, whenever you're having any issues, whenever you're not feeling like you're vibrating as high as you would like to, stop, pause, and think about anything or anyone or any situation in your life that you can appreciate. And if you have a trouble finding something to appreciate, then use the analogy that I used. Look at that little kid or those children who don't have any food. Not only do they not have any food, there's no hope that any food will be coming to them, because there's not a trash can in their village or anywhere nearby that has food in it. There's no stores with food. There's no homes with food. No one in some of these places has food. So not only do they not have food, there is no hope for food. At least you live in a country where you can have hope. You live in a country where the poorest person here, just by having a social security number, is like royalty to some people on this planet. And if you don't understand that, and you can't find a way to appreciate, to find something in your life to appreciate, if you can't find something in your life or someone in your life that is worthy of you focusing on and feeling appreciation for, then I'm honestly not sure how to help you. Maybe we can do a one-on-one consultation and try to figure out what your problems may be and why you can't seem to focus on appreciation. But I remember a time in my life when things were not good. Things were not good at all. I was in prison. I had a lot of years. I was faced with a lot of years. A very, very heavy sentence. And a lot of people thought that there was no way I could come, you know, out from under that. But proper thinking and the right focus on just appreciating and not letting what I saw around me, including what I saw on this legal paperwork, what I'm being charged with, you know, six felonies, you know, after you already have a class X would usually send a lot of people to prison for a long time. I can honestly say that I believe that what I chose to focus on, appreciation and appreciating my freedom and knowing that I had it and would always have it, was very instrumental in me having that sentence of what could have been 36 to 180 years reduced down to a 3-year sentence where I did a year and a half. I can't explain that away with anything other than magic, the law of attraction, faith. So that being said, I will look and see if there are any other questions. Thank you, Nancy. She said I'm doing a good job. I appreciate that. And let's see. Gabriel said, Gano Grills is the truth. Love his stuff. I do too. I definitely got my money's worth when I paid $600 for me and a friend to go and listen to this guy speak for 8 hours. I learned a lot, and I feel like I got my money's worth, and I can't wait to go see him again next time he's in Chicago. But Tree Master Gano Grills is definitely one of the teachers who I believe is here to help, who has a lot of positive information, a lot of information that can make you feel very, very powerful. I think his heart is pure. I don't believe him to be anything other than what he says he is. And so he definitely has my endorsement just as a man and as a helper of humanity. Very, very powerful guy. Very, very intelligent man. And I think he has a really good heart. And just like all of the people that I've met so far who follow him. So anyway, we haven't gotten any phone calls on the show today yet. Anybody want to call in and ask any questions or talk or give any comments or speak about anything that I've discussed so far, feel free. The number is 312-834-3420. Let's see here. We've been rolling for just about an hour and we're almost done. If anyone has any questions, now would be a good time to call in. 312-834-3420. And if we don't get any calls over the next 2 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and close the show down for tonight. And I will see you guys back here next Monday, the 25th at 9 p.m. sharp. And I will be starting the next show at 9 p.m. sharp. Hopefully I'll have my new broadcasting software set up and everything so that we can do split screens and the calls can go live a little more efficiently. And I guess right now I just want to thank everybody who did tune in. We'll have an edited version of this show posted up on YouTube a little later tonight or tomorrow on the Jericho Spitz channel. And if anybody would like to be a guest host or to be interviewed or join the discussion live on the show with me on camera in my studio in Chicago, please feel free to send me a message at Jericho@JerichoSpitz.com, or you can inbox me on Facebook, or you can message me in the THC group, Talking Higher Consciousness. So with about 20 seconds left, I'm just going to wrap up the show. with the encouragement to each and every one of you to learn everything that you can learn about the law of attraction, to learn everything that you can learn about your consciousness, what you really are, and how everything you experience in your body starts in your mind. So with that said, you have a great night. Wait, Monique said, great topic. I believe in order to wrap one's brain about what's really going on, one must delete their original programming. I agree with you 100%. I distinctly remember about 20 years ago or so, I was reading a Final Call newspaper that's put out by the Nation of Islam. And it was an article that quoted Farrakhan as saying, in order to put truth and right knowledge into your mind, you must first remove the garbage and make room for it. And when you just said that, it just made that pop into my mind like yesterday. And I remember thinking that I had a lot of garbage in my mind at the time. And I've spent a lot of years removing garbage from my mind and reprogramming myself. And I'm honestly really, really happy with where I am right now. And I just want to give thanks to all of the people along the way who have given me inspiration, ideas, plenty of knowledge and wisdom that has helped me along my path. For example, Terrence McKenna, who I started out talking about earlier, he has been very, very instrumental in me gaining a higher understanding of reality, of myself, of consciousness, of energy, of other people, of psychedelics. David Icke from Britain has definitely been instrumental in my understanding of reality, my understanding of how programming works, how television programs people, how to get out of that matrix of programming. David Icke, thank you so much for all of the ridicule you endured over years and years while you were trying to inform the public about all of the things that are going on. And now that you're filling up stadiums and people are taking you seriously, look who's laughing now. So thank you for your encouragement and all the wisdom and knowledge that you've given me over the years. There's a whole bunch more, man. There's so many other people that have directed me over the years and given me so much knowledge that helped me come out of that shell. Graham Hancock, Gavin Menzies, these are authors that and researchers that I followed for years. Alex Jones, even. I definitely spent some years listening to a lot of his broadcasts and a lot of the information he put out. And I gained a lot in erasing some of the detrimental untruths that were beat into my head during 12 years of school and just from pop culture, television, news. You know, it did fill my head up with a whole lot of untrue things. And I'm just happy and appreciative that today I stand before you, someone who has full knowledge of how to take control of their programming and have been doing so for a long time. And I'm really proud of who I am today. So that being said, it looks like we only have one more person still watching right now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show up. I'd like to thank everybody for joining the show. I hope I see you next week, same time, same bat channel on the THC show. I am your host, Jericho Spitz, signing out. Thank you.